another episode of Routes Through Pokemon. I'm Sailor Ruby.
And I'm Mystical Man Shaylock.
And together we are a father-daughter duo, journeying through the main series of Pokemon games, the anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. And after last week's detour, we are back on the route to the gyms and the video games with Route 13. And this week, we are traveling not one gym, but to two, trying to collect our fifth and sixth badges. But before we get into that, let's catch up where we are at in our own lives. We've recently been playing our new game, Tidal Blades.
Well, that's true. We finally, with Christmas break in full swing, you now have time off of school, and so do your siblings, and I'm off of work for a bit. So we were finally able to dig out Tidal Blades, which I got maybe a month and a half ago, something like that, and start working on the campaign. So far, we've only done two missions, and it's been you, me, Rosella, and Vi-Vi, and we've done the beta version of it, I guess, before when the Kickstarter was going on. So that's been fun. We still have one more mission before we get to things that are newer to me. So, like, we have the boss mission, and then we'll have a return to the town, which has its own little cool factor into things, and then we'll get into completely new stuff. But some of the stuff is already new with, like, some of the upgrades we get and the cards we get and everything to make our heroes stronger, so that's been really cool and fun. And I don't know if any of you listeners are familiar with the Tidal Blades game or whatever, but I just kind of go over a couple things. But, like, yeah, it's a campaign game, a couple of map books that, like, connect to create different maps or whatever, and you're fighting these monsters, and has some little time travel elements. It's well set in kind of a very tropical-y kind of water location with different kind of creatures, different species, like alligator, humanoid alligators and things like that. But there's also human, which you're playing, right? You're playing the Tidal Blade Dust.
Oh, yeah.
And then Vavai has chosen Axel, who's the show-off guy. I'm not sure what species he's supposed to be. And then there's a thing called a Betalod, and it looks like a lot like an axolotl. And Rosilla has a thing for axolotls. And it's also the tiny one, and she kind of relates to that fact. And so she chose that one, and it's kind of like the mystical mage type almost. And then I decided to go with what they said is the hardest difficulty for learning to play, but he comes with his own little buddy Drew, who's kind of like a flying beetle thing. But I think he's like a frog or something. Is that right? The main guy?
Maybe.
Anyway, what is his name now? I can't even remember. But anyway, he's called the Time Traveler, and he's off looking for his wife because his wife and child went missing or something like that. And so
I think they got killed.
Maybe they got killed. I don't know. But he's a time traveler, so maybe he's trying to find a way to stop that. I don't know. The story and the fact that he's bouncing around like that and has a little buddy, he's really fun, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And so far, we've been doing really good. We got the best results in the last two, except for wound factors. I have a feeling we're going to start with something harder next time with the boss fight, because I think we didn't get enough. Well, maybe we got enough wounds. I don't know. We'll have to see.
We got a lot of wounds.
That's true.
Because I kept giving my fruit to Rosella, and then I got started getting wounds. And I needed fruit, but she didn't give any fruit in return.
Well, she didn't have any.
Yeah, because she ate it all.
Well, that's why you gave it to her.
Vi-Vi could have given me his fruit.
Yeah, he was having his own troubles.
Then why didn't he eat it?
I meant, like, troubles to be even to give it to you. Like, he was surrounded by monsters way ahead of us for a while. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So, we've been doing that. I've still been playing some Marvel Rivals. Still doing a little Pokemon Go, but still not getting a lot done. But I'm kind of excited for Christmassy stuff still. It's not there yet. And now I found out there's some fun Christmassy weirdness with Marvel Rivals, too, with some cool costumes to feature, like, to go along with the holiday season. So I have to check that out. But I didn't play Marvel Rivals the last couple days because I've been busy working on, mostly because of podcast stuff, but also a little bit of Tidal Blades. And when I say a little bit, I mean one mission, which setting up and doing it takes a couple hours with us. So, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Did you do it today?
Do what?
Marvel Rivals.
Nope. Because I was trying to get some other stuff done for the podcast.
You're going
to
miss your dailies. It's 6 o'clock.
Well, maybe after the episode. But I still have to edit some stuff for the Christmas story. So, which you've all heard now. So you know that I did do it.
Actually, Instead of doing Marvel Rivals after this, we should play more title.
I thought about it, but I don't think we'll have the time. I wanted to play, but editing and Rivals, I think, are the things I'll try to focus on.
Teaching me how to play Rivals.
Sure, I can get you set up, and then I'll do some editing.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm excited. Let's finish this episode. Come on, people. Right.
So, yeah, that's all really the only new or interesting thing to share right now, I think.
Now, with that out of the way, let's jump into the episode of us moving to gym.
Yep. So, I think the first thing to mention is when we were still off in Mahogany Town from our little detour, I got a phone call that there was like a swarm or whatever, I forget what they call them, of Yanma.
I think it's a swarm.
Maybe. But yeah, there was a bunch of Yanma over on Route 35, I believe it is. Yeah, I think it's 35. And so I'd been told that there was Yanma found there before, but I don't think they ever specifically mentioned swarm until this time. Because I went back and looked for them then, and I didn't find them. But this time, I definitely found some and caught them all for all of us.
Yahoo!
So that was our first new Pokemon this round, but we definitely got a whole bunch of stuff going for us. Including some of us just catching up on getting some Pokemon that we didn't have yet.
Mm-hmm.
That others did.
Yeah, Daddy, why didn't you catch
up? Well, it was me catching up, actually. But part of it is because Crystal was giving you the babies and not me.
Ha!
And you actually failed to catch up in something still, so...
What? What did I forget to do?
Not forget, but you failed to catch up.
With what?
You haven't evolved a Mareep into a Flaffy yet. Crystal did forever ago, and I finally accomplished it in Silver.
That's not on me.
But both Crystal and Silver caught up to you and evolved their Bellsprouts into Weepinbell.
Well, now mine's a Victory Bell.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
You're a liar.
You're a liar.
Anyway. So, throughout all of this, we definitely spent a lot of time going back to Goldenrod City so that we could keep getting haircuts for our Eevees in all three games so that eventually we could get our Espeon and Umbreons. But then, yeah, we would go back to Ecruteak City, and instead of going to the east, which is where Mount Mortar and Mahogany Town and Lake of Rage and all that was, we went west, which is where we're supposed to go, I think, especially based off the route numbering. And in that area, you ran into a Miltank early on, but weren't able to catch it.
Why? I hate Miltank.
Yeah, I don't remember why you couldn't catch it.
It was just being difficult, I think.
Oh, and then you had to go, so you're like, that's it, I'm just going to beat this one.
I had to go, I think, and I didn't have very many Pokeballs left.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, we kept... Oh, man, I was running out of Pokeballs left and right.
That was the one I did not have luck on.
Yeah.
One of the few.
One of the few, yes. But we all caught some Magnemite in all three games.
Woo-woo. Magnemite.
So now we have Magnemite and Voltorb, because we have the Voltorb back with the Team Rocket headquarter place. And I found Tauros while I was in there in Silver, so I caught three of them for us. And later on, when I was trying to level up my Eevee, I caught three Miltank for us. So I caught all of them.
Good job.
You're welcome.
I didn't say thank you.
I know. But then with your Mankey from the trip to Mahogany Town, which you got three of, and I caught a couple of Meowth. I think I only caught two because I let Crystal catch its own Meowth. But then, after that route and battling the trainers... Oh, we met some new trainers on that route, too. We met a sailor. We definitely met sailors out there. I don't know if we met anything. I mean, there was other Pokemon, like a Psychic, I think, and some Pokefans. But I think the sailor was the only new one in that particular area. But then we got to a farm for Miltank. And they had a sick Miltank or something like that?
Yeah, the Miltank were sickly or something. So I'm sure we'll have to go back there and do something with that later.
Actually, I think... I'm almost wondering if I already know what to do.
I feel like we need medicine from that guy.
Right? I think that might be the case. What's with all the sick Pokemon? There's a lot of sick Pokemon this round.
I think I'm sick.
Maybe there's a plague. Oh! So another thing is I ran into Suicune once. I think it was when I was doing the detour to catch Lapras. Maybe it was some other time. I don't remember. In Silver. Well, I ran into Suicune again while I was running around catching the Miltank and Tauros and leveling up my Eevee. But in Crystal, obviously I didn't run into Suicune because I think there's a whole plot with that one. But I did run into Raikou and an Entei. No, I only ran into a Raikou. You ran into an Entei and Raikou.
Okay, I got a little story here, you guys. I was trying to level up my stupid little Eevee and some... In Goldenrod City, kind of close to the daycare, that one patch of grass, I'm walking around and I find Raikou. Well, he pops up. I'm like, ooh, is this a new Pokemon for nighttime? Ooh, Raikou, I'll have to tell Daddy later. Oh, wait, Raikou! And I throw a Pokeball, he breaks out and flees. Okay, so then I put my Gengar in front to mean look them right away when they come out, just in case I find another one. I go heal a couple of times and keep fighting and am tediously leveling up my Eevee. Entei shows up, which is super amazing. And I mean look it right away, and it's all good, and I switch Pokemon to slowly beat it down, but apparently if you switch Pokemon, mean look doesn't work anymore. So Entei also ran away.
Curses.
And now I just don't have any legendary dogs.
Well, neither of us. None of us have any of them yet.
But I should have one. At least one. And both were in the same patch of grass, same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I ran into the Suicune two different places, but one of the places I ran into Suicune is the same place I ran into Raikou in Crystal.
I wonder if they can only be found in specific spots.
They move around. Like I said, I ran into Suicune in two different pieces of grass. Two different routes.
I know, but I wonder if all legendary dogs are only in some pieces of grass and not in others.
I think they might only show up in certain routes. I don't know all the details, but... And I'm also pretty sure we'll be able to track them eventually. So, like, if you see them, then you'll know where they are later. It'll show on your thing, so you just need to get over there as quickly as possible and run around the grass until you run into it.
I just want to go back to that Goldenrod City piece of grass and walk around there forever.
So then we go south of the farm and fight some more trainers, and then soon we find ourselves in a new town, Olivine City.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Wait, you just said town. It's a city. Which is it?
Toshi, Machi, whatever. And...
That's almost like potato, potato, or something. Toshi, Machi, whatever.
Anyway, well, the first building we come to, I think, because it's a weird zigzag of fences that we have to get like deeper into town. The first building is the gym, I believe.
Yep.
But it's empty.
Yep.
And I think a sign outside mentions the steel type or something like that.
Maybe.
Anyway, maybe it didn't tell us. I don't know.
Might have been a person who mentioned that.
We definitely learned that it's a steel-type gym, somehow.
Somehow.
And we go deeper into Olivine City and, you know, Poke Center, Pokemart, restocking Pokeballs, which we had to do a few times. And a little further south of the city, there's a little pathway to go into an area where you can catch some Shellder, they said. And Crystal was like, sure, and caught a Shellder right away. Silver and Gold took a little longer, and I've definitely found Chinchou way before I found Shellder. So I caught two of those, and you caught one.
It didn't take too long to find the Shellder. I found Shellder first.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then you would.
But then, by talking to people and stuff, we learn that the gym leader's up inside the Lighthouse Tower. So we're like, okay, well, let's go up there. So, yeah, we go into the lighthouse, and there's a bunch of trainers in there, more sailors, but we also run into gentlemen in there. And we work our way all the way up to the top, skipping one of the... I mean, there's a lot of holes to shortcut your way down, but there's another weird-placed hole. But we go all the way to the top and fight all the trainers there and get all the items that we can find. And then we go down the secret hole that... fight another trainer there and go up some different steps to fight another trainer, which we both, he's like spinning around in the middle kind of fast, and we both managed to slip right by him to go get the Pokeball first and then go fight him
because we wanted to just see if we could.
Yeah, that was we were going to fight him either way, but
and
we
it's
just...
kind of funny because you did it and then I did it and mentioned it to you and you're like, oh yeah, that's the same thing I did, so it's the exact same thing.
It was great. So yeah, we get to the top and sure enough the gym leader is there, and it is
Jasmine!
In the lighthouse, just like the lighthouse is pictured on her card for the Pokemon card game.
Yeah, Pokemon cards. And it's Jasmine and the lighthouse in the back, and Jasmine is a gym leader now.
And yes, we definitely absolutely confirm that Jasmine is the gym leader. So the person we met in the manga, no wonder they made a point of pointing her out. However, her picture on our little chart or whatever to track our badges is the sixth spot. Not the fifth spot.
Although we could have done her for fifth. Because we got really close to fifth. And got something that made it so we could have done her next.
Yeah, we got the medicine before we had to fight the fifth gym, so we could have backtracked all the way to Olivine to do that gym battle.
Because she's up there because her Pokemon is sick.
Right.
Or the Lighthouse Pokemon.
And that's what we heard before back in Ecruteak, that there was like something wrong with the Pokemon that would light up the lighthouse. And we find out that it's an Ampharos, which is what she has in the manga.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. We also learned that she changes what types of Pokemon she uses.
Yeah.
Like, not for us in the game, but it says that she had a, like, she would change the types of Pokemon she used in her gym. That was an interesting, like, fact about the whole situation. But yeah, she won't battle at the gym because her Pokemon's sick. So we drop through all the holes to quickly get back down the tower, and we head to the beach. Now, at the beach, this was interesting to me because we get there and it's not a very big beach and we did some rock smashing and all that, you know, because there were some rocks to smash.
Oh, and I got a Shuckle.
And you got a Shuckle. But then we found out we didn't need to even bother catching Shuckle because we got Shuckle for free later.
Yeah, what was with that? Lame.
Yeah. And so, but in Crystal, when I get to the beach, it's a little bit more expanded because they have this whole, and there's more people there because they're talking about the battle tower and you can go through this door to go up a little bit, like north, and up there there's some people talking and there's a big old tower called the Battle Tower. I did not go inside of it yet. I'm definitely intrigued by it, but we don't have that in our game. I don't think it's a feature of Crystal, I guess.
Yeah, you should have gone in there.
I should have, and I will explore it later, I think, but I didn't, like, I was just trying to keep up with Gold and Silver in the gym. So that was an interesting thing that was added to Crystal. And then we decided to start surfing to get to the next town, because they said it's across the water. And, of course, you get attacked constantly in the water by Tentacool and Tentacruel. And then there's a bunch of swimmer trainers. And Rosella saw me fighting the male swimmer and thought it looked like a monkey. Anyway, yeah, we fought all of them. And it became a big maze, because there was the Whirl Islands with the whirlpools, which we're pretty sure we know how to get past, but we have to do, and we're pretty sure it has to do with the seventh gym, but
which we could go do right now. We could have done it before the fifth gym.
Uh-huh, but we didn't.
We should have done that gym, and then done that girl's gym, and then Jasmine's gym, and then done this gym.
No, we're doing things properly. Because it's our first time through. If it wasn't our first time through, then sure, but it is our first time through. Maybe I'll encourage others to do it differently. Maybe Serenity.
She better.
So then, that took a long time, because there was a lot to explore. It wasn't really that long of a trip, especially after you're fighting the trainers and stuff, to get from the one beach to Cyanwood. Cyanwood? I don't even know how to say it. But we, of course, went all the way around the islands to fight all those trainers as well. So it was kind of a long thing. And yeah, the whirlpools, of course, blocked us from getting in there. And then we get to Cyanwood. And one of the first places I went to was a place that said, hey, I'll take a picture of you and your Pokemon.
That's where I went first.
Yeah?
No, wait, I did go to the Pokemon Center first because that's what I said I would do.
That's right. So we end up going to that place, and we could say yes or no for this memento, but it didn't let us click on yes. And I was very confused. I looked it up later and found out that that's because you need the whole printing capability of a Game Boy. And so on the virtual versions, they got rid of that option. But the conversation still happens, and the choice still pops up. So that was kind of confusing. But even more interesting is, in Crystal, the beach further north of that house is once again extended, and there's a little hut up there with a seer in it, and she will look at your Pokemon as well, kind of like that lady back in Goldenrod City. Mm. But she'll also tell you where you got the Pokemon that you want her to look at. What you give her a Pokemon to look at, she's like, this is where you got it, this is what level it was at, and things like that. And then it'll tell you something to the effect of how much it likes you, but she uses different words than the Goldenrod City person. So that was interesting. But before I even got into that building, I saw something beside her building up in a little nook and went to go look at it. And all of a sudden, I ended up in like a conversation with this guy named Weesine? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
It's probably something along the lines of Sweet.
Yeah, something like that. But I met him once before in Crystal in the Burden Tower, because he and the gym leader were there, and he was talking about how he really wants to find Suicune. Well, sure enough, here, he had tracked Suicune down, because Suicune was in the nook, and it runs off across the water, which Eswene mentions is what it can do, is it runs so they run so fast they can run right across water. And not just the Suicune, I think all the legendary beasts maybe. But then he says he wants to battle me to prove to Suicune that he's worthy to be Suicune's trainer.
I think challenging you to a battle just proves how unworthy he is.
I thought it was an interesting thing. And so I end up in this battle, and this was the mystical man that I had to fight. And I think he had an interesting set of Pokemon. He had like an Electrode, a Haunter, and a... Shoot, what was that? It was like a Nidoh or something like that. I don't remember. So it was an interesting collection of Pokemon too. But yeah, I was really surprised by this, kind of like another rival almost. So yeah, I have this new rival looking for Suicune. So I'm sure I'm going to run into Eswene even more on my journey to get Suicune. But as this just shows that there's more to getting Suicune than getting the other two in the crystal version of the game. So yeah, it was really cool and interesting.
Oh, but didn't we accomplish something else before we got to Cyanwood?
Something else? Oh, right. Yes, we did. With all the back and forth and stuff, I think mine for in Silver, it happened in like Route 38 or 9 or whatever it is. I think in Crystal, it happened for me around there. Maybe it was with the trainers in the water on Route 40. But I did evolve my Eevee into Espeon and Crystals into Umbreon.
And me, kind of at Cyanwood-ish, evolved mine into Umbreon.
So we have our Espeons and Umbreons finally. And I'm so happy about it. And it turned out my Espeon was even... It was just well-timed, because it also learned Psychic before I got to the gym in Cyanwood.
Mine was not good for it. It was actually bad-timed, because I could have used Eevee. Eevee would have been good.
Eevee is also weak to fighting, because it's fighting normal.
Type gym, that's right.
Dark and normal are weak, because yes, the Cyanwood gym is a fighting gym. We did learn that. But before we got to the gym, we... explored the rest of the town, and there was one guy who said that, basically our rival, he didn't say it was our rival, but the guy with long hair showed up and scared him into giving up one of his rare Pokemon, which was a Shuckle, and he says he has one left, so he gives it to us to keep it safe. Which was kind of weird. And its name was like Shucky or something, is that right?
Our Shuckles were, yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah, that was an interesting interaction. And then there was another guy that gave us the secret potion, which is what we needed for Ampharos.
He was down in that house. You might have missed him if I didn't go in there.
I think I was going to go in there later, but I was trying to get some other stuff done at the time. So.
Because you had read the sign and went back up, and it was kind of in a little...
Well, I was trying not to go in all the houses without you. Oh, and when I was trying to catch up in Crystal, I was playing after midnight. Well, I was playing after 11 o'clock, because we set our times wrong on our game, so it was after midnight to the game. And I ran into Monica, because it was Monday.
Running into pink ribbons without me.
And it gave us the something beak, sharp beak, which increases flying type moves.
Gave you the sharp kick.
But it was the Monday character, which you also went over, because as soon as we took care of things, you flew over there.
Oh, yeah. There's a lady outside the gym who we talked to, and she said she was surprised how we crossed the water or whatever. She said we should have just flown, and we need this gym badge to fly, and we should come talk to her after we defeat the gym.
And so we both pretty much assumed that she was giving us the HM for fly.
Yeah.
What I didn't expect was that when we did talk to her after that, we found out she was the wife of the fighting gym, saying that he must be out of shape, which, I mean, he did not look out of shape, and getting a little chubby, so he needs to work harder, exercise harder.
Well, she said it's a good thing he has to work harder because he's getting chubby.
Right. Which I'm like, eh.
I mean, he could have been fat. You could tell.
A couple of things that were interesting about the gym when we did go in is that the guy wasn't there with the glasses to tell us all about it, so he didn't give us any tips. However, the trainers in there did give us tips on what we could do after we battled them. They mentioned the psychic Pokemon, but we kind of already knew.
Yep.
And yeah, all the trainers in there were black belts.
I tried to level up my psychic Pokemon before we fought, but it didn't work out.
And I purposely didn't even use Espeon throughout the... I don't think I used Espeon once in that gym battle. Because because you didn't have any, like, advantage there, so I didn't want to have the extra advantage, and I had some decent Pokemon still. So instead, I was using Who did I use? I think I used Leafy most of the time.
Yep. I used Croconaw most of the time.
Which, they did not stay those, did they? We did also evolve them into Meganium and...
Feraligatr.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
I think so.
Oosh.
I might have said mine wrong. I never know if it's Meganium or Meganium, so... But yeah, we work our way through there, and there's a little puzzle of pushing boulders out of the way, which I forgot that we had gotten strength, and I even had to look up where we got it, because I couldn't remember, but it was a sailor next to the Poké Center back in Olivine, because we needed it to get to the fifth gym, basically, because we couldn't get to the gym leader. Well, I mean, the gym we could get to, but we couldn't get to the leader without doing this, and another trainer beyond it. But you pushed your boulders in a way that you could get to the trainer, but you couldn't get to the leader.
I did that, and then I went out and went back in to reset it, and I did that again, so I went out again and reset it.
Yeah, but I looked at it for like 2 seconds and was like,
well,
oh, yeah, I know how to do this.
I thought I had it figured out, and then I pushed it in the wrong way again.
Because I think somebody outside of the gym even mentioned that there was like a puzzle to get to the leader or whatever.
It wasn't that hard. It just took a little bit of thinking.
So, oh, the first two trainers in that gym were interesting, too, because I purposely went closer to the one on the right, and I think you were closer to the one on the left, and I thought it would trigger the one on the right then, and not the left, but the left one came at me, and I'm like, oh, that's weird, so maybe the other one doesn't even fight you? But no, he does. He just waits for the other one to weaken you, and then he comes in with you, because the first one uses Hitmonlee, and then he uses Hitmonchan. And yeah, there's some Machoke and Machop and stuff to fight in there. But then the gym leader himself, what did he have? He had two Pokemon. What were his two fighting type Pokemon? Oh, one was like Machop or something like that. And then the other one was a water fighting Pokemon because it was Poliwrath. And it was funny for me because I was using Leafy throughout of it all. So my Meganium. And like he's not super strong against anybody in there. So I'm like, oh, this is kind of fairish, you know? And I'm battling and stuff. And I think I even had to trade him out at one time because he was getting weakened. So I used like Flicker, my Charizard or something. And then we healed and came back. But then when I got to the final fight, and I took out the Machop pretty quickly because I hit him once and he leered at me, if it was Machop, whatever he was.
Yeah, it was pretty pathetic.
And so, yeah, the leer made it so that I just did, because he only needed one more hit and he was out, so then that he couldn't
Same
do anything.
Here.
But, I mean, he still weakened me, so for the next fight, right? Because leer still, you know, stays on you.
Oh, yeah.
But then it was a Poliwrath, and I'm like, ha ha, I'm using my grass Pokemon. There's no way you're going to beat me. And sure enough, Razor Leaf took out over half his health, and then he wasted time doing the Mind Reader to take aim or whatever. And so then I just finished him off, so I didn't even get to learn what his move was until I got the TM.
Yeah, he took longer for me to do.
It was like Dynamic Punch or something, right? Was it the move?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but I think that can paralyze you, so it paralyzed you, right? Is that what happened? Or confused you.
Yeah, confused.
But then he also, because it was Poliwrath, he also like hypnotized you or something, didn't he? Because you said you fell asleep, I thought.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you were like put to sleep and hypnotized, or put to sleep and confused. Yeah, you were definitely asleep, because I remember you being like, would you just wake up, you stupid Pokemon? Because you even also said, oh, I should have done that. I should have put him to sleep. I could have used Sleep Powder.
Oh, yeah. Because I had switched up for my Bellsprout.
Yeah.
Weeping Bell, whatever.
So, yeah. And it was funny because we basically had a flip of that kind of situation when we got to the next gym where I was struggling because of, like, some confusion and stuff. And yep. Confusion and paralyzed.
I had to wait about the same amount of time that you had to wait for me to finish.
Yep, pretty much. And the gym leader's name was Chuck. And it was a fighting type gym. So, I... kind of suspicious if they named him Chuck based off of, like, Chuck Norris.
Yeah, Chuck Norris. Nope.
You don't know Chuck Norris, right? Okay. He was an actor, and there's been a lot of, like, memes about how strong Chuck Norris is. Basically, like, when he does a push-up, he doesn't push up, he pushes the world down, or he has a secret fist hiding behind his beard. And just the most ridiculous random stuff, but they're hilarious to me.
Are they funny to him?
Probably, if he's heard about him. I don't know. He's older. Anyway.
Is he like a grandpa like you?
I'm not a grandpa. I better not be a grandpa. Anyway. We beat the gym. We got our Storm Badge. I thought that was a cool name for the badge. And because of the way they, like, he was because he was, like, shirtless, because he's the fighting type or whatever. But, like, with all the sailors and water, because we were just on, like, a little islandy area surrounded by all kinds of other stuff, you know? I got the storm badge being, like, what it was called. Makes me think he's kind of a, like, into, like, the sea stuff as well. Like, so, like, almost like a tough sailor type or whatever, which I thought was kind of nifty. I like the atmosphere of the town, city. Oh, yeah.
Right before we fought him, he was trying to scare us, and he picked up a rock, and he threw it up on a statue.
Yeah, and then he admits, yeah, I guess that really doesn't have anything to do with Pokemon strength, though, does it?
Yeah, we're like, this is pathetic, thanks.
Although that's funny, because Brock, in that one episode with Snubbull turning into Gramble, talking about how now that she was buff herself, the Miss whatever her name was.
Oh, yeah.
Much Money. And, like, well, you need to be strong to, like, raise strong Pokemon or whatever, which didn't make any sense to me, but... So,
poor
yeah.
Jeeves.
We were gonna just do the gym, but because the lady outside said come talk to us after to get Fly, basically, she didn't say that specifically, we're like, well, we should do that at least. So we did that, but then I was like, but what do we do then? We just fly back to Olivine, which we did, because we wanted to talk to the Monica lady. And I'm like, I don't know if there's really anything else to do before the sixth gym except just do the sixth gym, so... There wouldn't be anything to talk about the next episode except saying, hey, we did this gym and we won. Mm-hmm. So, we decided we were going to do that. But before all of that, we did catch some other Pokemon. We did some fishing in Silver and Crystal because Gold assured me she was going to do the fishing that night.
I did not!
But instead played on her phone.
I did not!
We caught Staryu, and she didn't, so can't really talk about too much about that one yet. But then in the morning, we did catch Corsola's, which was fun. And you, of course, found it, what, on your first try?
Yeah, there wasn't even no bites. Yeah, it came right away. That was pretty impressive. Because he's like, did you catch your Pokemon? And so I'm like, fine. And I go and sit down, and I start fishing. I'm like, there, I caught it. You happy?
But... with all the surfing around, there was a rare Pokemon in the water, and I was trying to level up my Bellsprout still for Crystal to catch up with the Weepinbell situation. I also wanted Cyndaquil or Quilava to catch up, but not quite there. And I ran into Mantine, and I ran into it two more times, and used a ton of freaking Pokeballs to try to catch this stupid thing. But I did catch it for everybody, so we all have Mantine as well. Mantine, whatever it is. Again, you know, taking care of everything for Gold. 3 Yanma and Silver to distribute, 3, or a couple Meowths, 3 Miltanks, 3 Tauros. And anyway, so yeah, we caught all of them before we decided to go back to the lighthouse, and we climbed up to the top, and we gave the medicine, and she's like, oh, sweet, thanks, and she leaves, and the Ampharos stays there, and when we talk to the Ampharos, it does this little flash thing that's kind of similar to when we get healed, like, outside of battles in some games, at least. Maybe not even this game. And so I'm like, is it healing us? I don't even... because we didn't need healing, because we didn't fight the way up the lighthouse, because we already did that.
I tested it. It's not healing.
Yeah, we learned that. And so I figured that it must just be it lighting itself up for the lighthouse effect.
Yeah.
So, I think that's all that's going on there. It's just showing that it's healthy and doing its job again.
So, yeah, we did that. And then we came back down, and we go into the gym, and then there's a fun little surprise from you.
Oh, yeah, I realized I was playing Crystal while she was playing Gold, and I'm like, oops, I put on the wrong game, because I was doing all the trading to get all our Pokemon switched around. So, I saved there, quick switched over, went up the lighthouse again while you went and leveled up for a bit, and then I got back to the gym, and we went through, and the guy with the glasses was there again, but he said that the steel type was a new discovery, which is probably why she switched to it, and so he didn't give us any information on how to defeat it. Fortunately, we already knew that fire... or at least I do, that fire was good against it.
So we went through, and there were no trainers, and I'm like, oh, it's probably because we had to fight up the whole lighthouse.
Except that we already did that part.
Yep.
But what I should have guessed, especially with the whole Ampharos thing, and I forgot, like, if I had sat to think for just a second, I would have realized that she probably would have had, like, a Magnemite, because they're also steel in this game, while being electric, and she had electric Pokemon, and she switches types at some point, so she was probably an electric trainer at one point. So, of course, she had a couple of Magnemite to fight, and I thought I'd be clever and keep my Flaffy out, because he's only, like, level 15, and start with him so I could switch out to my Charizard to start burning all the metal, However, Charizard's a flying type, and I ran right into the electric type, and they just, like, zapped me to death. And I'm like, that wasn't fun.
So, meanwhile, me, Ember, got a little hurt by one of the Pokemon. Ember. I'm done.
Well, I got, like, paralyzed and confused. Fortunately, Charizard had, like, a bitter berry, so he ate that real quick, so I wasn't confused, but I was still paralyzed. And I was trying to heal, but eventually it was just too much, and I died. So I used other Pokemon, like my Espeon and stuff. And I got through just fine.
And there was a bit of a difference, because you went Magnemite, Steelix, and I went Magnemite.
Right, and in Crystal I did the same, because I think it had something, it might have something to do with defeating the Magnemite super quickly. So if you were, like, if it was, like, easy for you, then they bring out the tougher one right away.
Oh, that makes sense. So it would be harder to do Magnemite.
Right. And so it was really cool to see Steelix show up as well. We don't have them yet, but it was cool. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have metal coats yet, so we can't get them yet. Then we defeated her, and she's kind of, like, really weirdly hemmy-high about everything. Like, she seems kind of awkward. I don't know. Like, she was unsure how to talk to people.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. Like, it was an interesting characteristic. I don't fault her for it or anything. I thought it was an interesting thing. interesting feature.
Yep.
But yeah, then she gives us, what it was, the mineral badge. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And a TM for Iron Tail, which is what Steelix kept using, which did tons of damage.
He used Iron Tail on you? He just used Rock Throw on me once.
Oh, he definitely used Iron Tail.
That's funny. The other one used the thing on me a bunch. Yep. And that we got and then used on you.
But, yeah, I basically bit him to death with Umbreon, despite the fact that it was not super effective. But Umbreon was really strong. He's, like, level 47, so compared...
That's, you know, what you did in Silver?
No, in Crystal. Silver is Espeon. I don't remember how I got through him on Silver, exactly. It was definitely not with fire, because Charizard got knocked out, and I wasn't going to try to revive him.
She healed on yours, didn't she? She
used both Crystal and Silver, she used a Hyper Potion. I was so annoyed.
She didn't have a chance with me.
Yeah. But that was those gyms and our journey towards them. And it was a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to... Well, we got a few things to explore, probably. Because we have strength now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that one area in Dark Cave.
Yeah.
But then there's the rest of Mount Mortar.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited to explore. And then that will take us eventually to... back to Mahogany Town, where we'll fight the Ice Gym.
Which we could have. But early. We could have gone Ice Gym, Jasmine's Gym, the other guy's gym.
Ooh, another fun thing is my Vaporeon learned Aurora Beam in Silver, which is the ice, like that big ice attack.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been fun to use. I like that move. There's nothing, no bearing on anything, really, but it was really fun. The only other thing to add, with all that journeying, there were some more eggs that were produced and everything. I have 2 Eevee eggs, but they're just in my box right now. I've not been hatching them yet in Silver. But I did get another Bulbasaur hatch that I sent over to Silver, because Gold already has theirs. And I thought I had hatched a second Cleffa, but apparently it was the first one, so I sent it to Silver, which means Gold has it in their Pokedex, but doesn't have one.
Nope.
Because you had it for a second. And we have extra Shuckles, apparently. Oh, I totally forgot. I also caught in the grass with the Miltank and Tauros.
Yeah.
There was even a rarer Pokemon out there. And I caught 2 of them in Silver. And they were Farfetch'd.
Oh.
And so I sent 1 to Crystal and 1 to you. Yeah. So that was also cool. So you still need to get that Staryu, though, so we can get that squared away.
I'll play some tonight, I think.
And you need to evolve your Mareep.
I don't know if I'll ever do that.
You better. And that's actually something I think we need to focus a little bit more on, because we've been keeping a lot of Pokemon that are, like, can't evolve anymore or whatever on our teams, and we need to start, like, bringing at least 1 with us to start, like, evolving.
And now that we've finished our journey to the 5th and 6th gym, let's talk about our new favorite Pokemon. I think mine's probably Corsola. She's super cute. I just like Corsola in general.
Yeah, well,
Unless our evolutions count, then it's Umbreon.
Right. Espeon actually gets ahead of Umbreon for me this time around, just because it was so super useful for the Tentacool and Tentacruel, because they're poison, and Psychic is good against that.
Well, I didn't even have an Espeon.
I know you didn't. But if we're excluding the evolutions, which is fair since we love them, and they almost always win, then my favorite that we got is probably Farfetch'd. I think that's the one I choose. The next one would maybe, after that, be Chinchou.
Okay.
I kind of think, I like that Pokemon for some reason. Yeah, so I think those are mine.
So now it's time to get into our Pokedex entries.
Who's that Pokemon?
Clefus, Starshape, number 173. Because of its unusual star-like silhouette, people believe that it came here on a meteor.
If the impact site of a meteorite is found, this Pokemon is certain to be within the immediate area.
When numerous meteors illuminate the night sky, sightings of Cleffa strangely increase.
Weepinbell, Flycatcher, number 70. When it's hungry, it swings its razor-sharp leaves, slicing up any unlucky object nearby for food.
Don't stand too close.
Don't stand so close to me.
Maybe I should just kill people who come close, then everyone won't stand close to me.
If its prey is bigger than its mouth, it slices up the victim with sharp leaves, then eats every morsel.
Even though it is filled with acid, it does not melt because it also oozes a neutralizing fluid.
Oh, I forgot we should be mentioning the names we have for them, too. So, Cleffa. My Cleffa in silver is named Fable. Yanma, Clearwing, number 193. Its large eyes can scan 360 degrees. It looks in all directions to seek out insects as its prey.
If it flaps its wings really fast, it can generate shockwaves that will shatter windows in the area.
Yeah, like that one episode.
It can see in all directions without moving its big eyes, helping it spot attackers and food right away.
And then Silver's Yanma is Mana, and Crystal's Yanma is Yeah, Man.
Oh, mine is Cannibal. Magnemite, Magnet, number 81. It is attracted by electromagnet waves. It may approach trainers if they are using their Pokegear.
The electricity emitted by the units on each side of its body cause it to become a strong magnet.
The units at the sides of its body generate anti-gravity energy to keep it aloft in the air. It's kind of cool.
I named mine Maggie.
And Silver has Mage and Crystal has Gamin' Time, which is just Magnemite rearranged.
Mankey, Pig Monkey, number 56. It lives in groups in the treetops. If it loses sight of the group, it becomes infuriated by its loneliness.
It's unsafe to approach if it gets violently enraged for no reason and can't distinguish friends from foes.
It is extremely ill-tempered. Groups of them will attack any handy target for no reason.
I forget what their names are. Meowth, Scratch Cat, number 52. It loves anything that shines. It especially adores coins that it picks up and secretly hoards.
It is fascinated by round objects. It can't stop playing with them until it tires and falls asleep.
It loves things that sparkle. When it sees a shiny object, the gold coin on its head shines too.
And then I named my Meowth Persia, because it evolves into Persian.
And I named mine Meowza.
And I went simple and named the one in Crystal, Neko. Japanese for cat.
Oh, my egg's hatching!
Yay!
Togepi! What are you going to nickname it?
Spot.
Spot.
Tauros, Wild Bull, number 128. They fight each other by locking horns. The herd's protector takes pride in its battled, scarred horns.
These violent Pokemon fight with other members of their herd in order to prove their strength.
After heightening its will to fight by whipping itself with its three tails, it charges at full speed.
I named my Tauros Bully.
Crystal's is named Torn, and Silver's is named Toro.
Miltank, Milk Cow. You had me do this one on purpose!
Wow, that would be cool.
It was more of a motherly joke.
Yeah, but what other kind of joke would there be?
Okay. Calling you a cow.
Mm-hmm.
That almost sounded like a moo.
Number 241. In order to milk a Miltank, one must have a knack for rhythmically pulling up and down.
Didn't hear the end of that.
Just have some same thoughts.
Come on now.
We're going to have to start putting an explicit rating on our podcast.
In order to milk a Miltank, one must have a knack for rhythmically pulling up. I'm doing so good. For rhythmically pulling up and down on its udders. Do you have a knack for that?
Well, I got pretty good at the goats, I guess.
What are you doing with the poor goats?
Milking them.
Yeah, right. I did most of the milking of those goats.
Okay. Did you want me to read it again, or did I
get it? Nope, you are fine. If it has just had a baby, the milk it produces contains much more nutrition than usual.
Its milk is packed with nutrition, making it the ultimate beverage for the sick or weary.
It's literally just describing breastfeeding in general. Like, what's so special about this thing? It's all mammals.
Let's see. And the crystal milk tank is named Mumu.
It's because Momos are comfortable after birth.
And then in silver, I named it Tanker.
And mine is Millie. Should have named her Mama.
Farfetched. Wild Duck. Number 83. If it eats the plant stick it carries as emergency rations, it runs off in search of a new stick.
If anyone tries to disturb where the essential plant stick grow, it uses its own stick to thwart them off.
In order to prevent their extinction, more people have made an effort to breed these Pokemon.
And I've only caught the two of them so far in silver, and I gave one to gold.
Which I named Fetching.
And one to crystal, which is named Samutori, which is just a mixture of samurai and the Japanese word for bird.
You would.
Shellder, bivalve. Number 90. It swims facing backward by opening and closing its two-piece shell. It is surprisingly fast.
Clamping on to an opponent reveals its vulnerable parts, so it uses this move only as a last resort.
Grains of sand trapped in its shells mix with its body fluids to form beautiful pearls.
I named my shelter Icy.
And in crystal, it's Shyster. And in silver, it's Shell.
Corsola, coral, number 222. The point on its head absorbs nutrients from clean water. They cannot survive in polluted water.
In a South Sea nation, the people live in communities that are built on groups of these Pokemon.
It continuously sheds and grows. The tip of its head is prized as a treasure for its beauty.
And in crystal, the Corsola is named Corsair. In silver, it is named Sola. Like Serenity Sola.
And mine is Cora.
Chinchou, angler, number 170. On the dark ocean floor, its only means of communication is its constantly flashing lights.
It shoots positive and negative electricity between the tip of its two antennae and zaps its enemies.
Its antennae, which evolved from a fin, have both positive and negative charges flowing through them.
And my Chinchou in silver is Angel.
Mine is Chime.
And in crystal, it is Angle.
Jolteon, lightning, number 135. It concentrates the weak electric charges emitted by its cells and launches wicked lightning bolts.
The negatively charged ions generated in its fur create a constant sparking noise.
Every hair on its body starts to stand sharply on end if it becomes charged with electricity. And then the only Jolteon we have is the one from Blue that I transferred over and just shared with everybody. I think his name is Bolt.
Isn't he like level 100 or something?
Yes, he's one. He's our only Pokemon I think that's at high right now.
Espeon, Sun, number 196. The tip of its forked tail quivers when it's predicting its opponent's next move.
By reading air currents, it can predict things such as the weather or its foe's next move.
There's a 30% chance it's raining, right?
It uses the fine hair that covers its body to sense air currents and predict its enemy's actions.
And the only Espeon we have is the one I evolved in silver from that Eevee.
And what's its name?
Psychic. Umbreon. Moonlight. Number 197. When darkness falls, the rings on the body begin to glow, striking fear in the hearts of anyone nearby.
When agitated, this Pokemon protects itself by spraying poisonous sweat from its pores.
On the night of a full moon, or when it gets excited, the ring patterns on its body glow yellow.
And then we have the two Umbreons, one from Crystal and one from Gold. Moon Meme and Midnight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mantine Kite, number 226. As it majestically swims, it doesn't care if Remoraid attached to it for scavenging its leftovers.
It swims along freely, eating things that swim into its mouth. Its whole body is very coarse.
Swimming freely in open seas, it may fly out of the water and over the waves if it builds up enough speed. Did you notice on the Mantine picture that it has a Remoraid attached to its, like, wing, basically?
Yeah. And I named my Mantine Ray.
And Crystal's is Mint, and mine is Ray, R-A-Y, instead of R-E-I, like Ruby's. Because one's a male, one's a female.
Bulbasaur, seed number one. While it is young, it uses the nutrients that are stored in the seeds on its back in order to grow.
It carries a seed on its back right from birth. As it grows older, the seed also grows larger.
The seed on its back is filled with nutrients. The seed grows steadily larger as its body grows.
And then I believe Ruby's is something like baby bulb or something like that.
Yeah, baby bulb.
Yeah, and then mine is Irvine. And then that is our Pokedex entries for this episode. Thanks for joining and helping us out with that, Serenity Sola.
Mm-hmm. All right, now that we're done with our Pokedex entries, it's time for Pokemon cards.
All right, my turn to go first.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think we're both opening Surging Sparks this week.
Yep, mine's got an Exeggutor on the front.
And I got that, like, Archeladon or whatever it is. All right, so my first one is Larvesta, fire type. In ancient times, Larvesta was worshipped as the emissary of the sun. However, it was also viewed as a burden since it often caused forest fires. Only you can prevent forest fires. That's what Smokey the Bear always said. Ooh, Delmise. That's that anchor, shipwheel, ghost Pokemon. Grass type. After a piece of seaweed merged with debris from a sunken ship, it was reborn as this ghost Pokemon.
No.
Cetitan, water type. Ability, solid body. This Pokemon takes 30 less damage from attacks after applying weakness and resistance. Ice energy builds up in the horn on its upper jaw, causing the horn to reach cryogenic temperatures that freeze its surroundings. Shroodle, dark type. To keep enemies away from its territory, it paints markings around its nest using a poisonous liquid that has an acrid odor. It's like using its little buck teeth to draw the poison on the rock.
That's kind of fun.
Indeedee, psychic. Ability, obliging heal. When you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench during your turn, you may heal 30 damage from your active Pokemon and have it recover from a special condition.
Nice.
This Pokemon never leaves its trainer's side. It predicts their actions with its psychic power and takes care of their day-to-day needs. Ooh, a Terra Orb. Search your deck for a Terra Pokemon, reveal it, and put it into your hand, then shuffle your deck. It's the terrestrializing thing.
That's fun.
Fluttermane, ancient, psychic. This Pokemon has characteristics similar to those of Fluttermane, a creature mentioned in a certain book. Ooh, reverse holo, Wattrel, electric type. These Pokemon make their nest on coastal cliffs. The nests have a strange, crackling texture, and they're a popular delicacy.
Oh my.
Are you shocked by this? Ooh, interesting. Okay, so I have a, like, full art or extended art or whatever. Execute. Grass type. Using telepathy, only fellow Execute can pick up on. They always form a cluster of six.
That's really cool. See, I told you, the one I pick always doesn't have the great cards.
Yeah, it's a secret rare by just one. There's 191, this one's 192.
I always pick the wrong pack.
Ooh, and then my final card is Skeledirge, fire type. It evolves from Crocolar. Ability, unaware. Prevent all effects of attacks used by your opponent's Pokemon done to this Pokemon. Skeledirge's gentle singing soothes the souls of all that hear it. It burns its enemies to a crisp with flames of over 5,400 degrees Fahrenheit. That's just the rare card, though, so it's nothing special.
But you still got a full art, so I mean, yeah. Come on.
Ooh, and to go with my Skeledirge, I got basic fire energy.
I'm probably going to blame everything. No full art or extended art. All right. This is kind of perfect. My first Pokemon is Mantine.
Oh, perfect.
Water type.
The one you didn't catch.
I'll catch it soon enough.
You don't need to. I got three of them.
Oh, okay. If it builds up enough speed swimming, it can jump out above the waves and glide for over 300 feet.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if you can teach it fly now.
Bronzong evolves from Bronzor, steel type. It brought rains by opening portals to another world. It was revered as a bringer of plentiful harvests. Sandygast, psychic type. It flings sand into the eyes of its prey and tries to close in on them while they're blinded. But since Sandygast is so slow, the prey tends to escape. Drillbur, fighting type. It makes its way swiftly through the soil by putting both claws together and rotating at high speed. This is kind of cool. Turtonator, dragon type. Fighting in fire, looks like. Explosive substances. Coat the shell on its back. Enemies that dare attack, it will be blown away by an immense detonation. Paldean Tauros, fighting type. Didn't last time I got, like, a water Tauros or something?
I think so, and I was really surprised, because I knew there was, like, fighting and fire. I didn't know there was more.
This kind of Tauros, known as the combat breed, is distinguished by its thick, powerful muscles and its fierce disposition. Pokemon Tool, Trainer, Counter Gain. If you have more prize cards remaining than your opponent, attacks used by the Pokemon this card is attached to cost one energy less, I think. Reverse Holo, Deden, psychic type. Deden emit electrical waves from the whiskers on their cheeks to communicate with each other. When low on electricity, they curl up and sleep. Because they're low on energy. Ooh, another reverse holo. Simisear evolves from Pansear. Fire type. A flame burns inside its body. It scatters embers from its head and tail to sear its opponents. It's pretty cool.
Ooh, that is cool.
My rare is Terrapagus, colorless.
That's the turtle thing, right? The one in Liko's amulet or whatever?
Oh, yeah, I think it is. The shell it made of crystallized terrestrial energy. When struck by a move, this shell absorbs the move's energy and transfers it to Terrapagos. Water-type energy.
Terrapagos or something like that.
No full arts or anything. We picked the wrong pack. There was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, sorry.
I told you you were going to get the good pack.
This is like the second time I've got like a basic Pokemon that was like the full art. Because I got that Wattrel one, remember?
Yeah.
Or not full art, alternate art, whatever.
You've probably gotten more good cards than me.
Maybe.
All right, and that's our episode. So Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can listen to us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other podcasting platforms. So go ahead and give us a like, subscribe, rate, and review. And feel free to leave any comments along the way. And you can also find us on YouTube at the Hunterfield Institute channel. And if you want to reach us in other ways, we have an email at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. You can also find Shaylock posting on X at Hunterfield Inns, or on Instagram at Kinetics_card. We also keep our tallies, episode rankings, and other updates on our Facebook page, Routes Through Pokemon. Alright, and so with the 5th and 6th gym done, we have a nice stint of anime episodes to get through. And I think there may even be a movie in there. And hopefully we'll have some more updates on Sola's journey through Crystal, as well as an interesting new direction in the Pokemon Adventures manga. But for now, thank you for listening, and we will catch you on the next route. Bye-bye!
Sayonara! Part 28. Pink and Green. Emerging from the caves of Mount Moon, Violet had to shield her eyes against the bright sunlight. She blinked a few times, and her eyes eventually adjusted to the brighter environment. Off in the distance, she could see the outskirts of Cerulean City. Much closer to where she stood, Violet could see and hear two trainers battling. One was using a Paris, while the other had a Mankey.
Oof, a fighting type against Bug? Hopefully that Mankey's trainer has been working hard with their Pokemon. Bit of an uphill battle.
From a distance, Violet watched for a bit, interested to see how the Paris performed since she had recently just caught one of her own. Perhaps she could learn something. Before that could happen, there was a sudden shout farther down the route. The two trainers were too involved in their battle and shouting commands that it didn't seem either of them heard it, so it was up to Violet to see if someone needed help. Rushing off, Violet didn't hear any further shouting, and so she wasn't sure if she was even headed in the right direction. Then, just as Violet was about to give up, another shout pierced the air.
No!
It came from somewhere behind Violet. She must have missed them somewhere in the tall grass and walked right by. She headed for the sound, hoping she wasn't too late to help. Her eyes were scanning through the grass as she rushed over, and then she finally saw a sign. There was a section of grass that was rustling a decent amount. Could have been just a wild Pokemon, of course, and so Violet made sure she had a Pokeball in hand to toss into battle, should she need to. Whatever was in the grass started to get closer. Violet raised the Pokeball over her shoulder, ready to throw. As soon as it burst out of the grass, Violet fired the ball forward. It connected with a crack and...
Ow!
And then the Pokeball unleashed Mizu, the horsey.
Mizu, use bu- Wait, ow?
Yes, ow, something just knocked me right in the head.
Oh no.
Violet said, sure she recognized that voice.
It's all right.
The girl said, getting to her feet.
I've survived worse. Losing out on the Ekans, on the other hand.
The girl looked up, rubbing her forehead, and then blinked in confusion, clearly not expecting to see Violet.
Oh, hi!
After a brief silence, the girl spoke up again.
It's me, Hanako. We've run into each other a couple of times before.
Violet nodded.
Yeah, I remember.
Her tone was flat. She did not like the pink-haired girl, but she had just pelted her with a Pokeball, so to just walk away felt like it would be extremely rude.
Though...
she thought.
The girl kinda deserves it after what she did to my Clefairy. So...
Violet tried to find something to say, so that hopefully she could get it all over with as quickly as possible and move on towards Cerulean City.
In Ekans, huh?
Hanako's eyes went wide with excitement.
Yeah, but not just any Ekans. You know how they're usually purple? Well, not this one.
The girl leaned in and spoke slightly quieter.
This one was green.
Violet raised an eyebrow.
Green? I've never heard of a green Ekans.
Right? It was sort of a... I don't know, sort of the color of grass, but maybe grass that hasn't had a lot of water lately.
You sure you didn't just see grass? Maybe a stick hidden behind some of the blades to make it seem like there was something more there?
Oh, it was definitely an Ekans. Almost got strawberry. But then I switched out for Lala and sang it to sleep. Unfortunately, it broke out of my Pokeball anyway, and then slithered off. And it blended in really well that I don't think I'll find it now.
The girl suddenly looked sad, and maybe like she was about to cry. Violet did not know how to handle the sudden emotional turn.
Hey, look, I think maybe it wasn't an Ekans at all. It probably was a trick of the light in the grass, and you didn't actually miss out on something so unique?
The pink-haired girl looked up, and now there were definitely tears in her eyes.
Why don't you believe me? I know what I saw. It would have been so cool to actually have caught it. I bet no one else has an Ekans that looks like it.
I think you're probably right,
Violet agreed. After all, how could anyone have something that doesn't exist? Hanako looked at Violet with a gleam of hope that quickly dimmed and she frowned.
Oh, because you still don't believe...
Hey, yeah! A distant voice started. Have you seen a girl go by here recently? Violet held up a hand to stop Hanako from talking, and she whirled around and tried to peer up over the grass back toward the entrance to Mount Moon. Just as she had expected, the voice belonged to the trainer she had ditched in the mountain caves. He was talking to the two trainers who had been battling.
Just great.
Violet turned back to the pink-haired girl, who looked a little confused.
Look, sorry you lost your green Ekans, and I'm sorry for hitting you in the head with a Pokeball, but I've got to go.
What's wrong?
Hanako asked.
Nothing. I mean, I don't have time to get into it. See you around, okay?
Violet started hurrying off towards Cerulean again, but Hanako just started marching along right on her heels. Violet stopped.
Why are you following me?
The girl shrugged.
I'm not. We're just both heading the same direction.
Sighing, Violet shook her head.
Of course we are.
She started pushing forward again.
Well, can you walk farther away? Together we draw too much attention.
Hanako tilted her head as she continued to follow.
Attention?
She looked back and saw the boy finishing up his conversation with the battlers.
Oh, you don't want to be spotted by that boy. You have a crush on him or something?
That got Violet to stop again.
What? No! He's just a pest!
She started up again, but continued to try to explain why she doesn't want to be seen.
He just won't leave me alone and keep—
Just then, Violet yelled as she suddenly vanished before Hanako's eyes. To be continued.